When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast. Here are your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel and Kelly Bidlin.
What's up, folks? Welcome in. It is, I guess it's like kind of an emergency edition, an early edition of the late week edition of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. Kelly Bidlin alongside Jonathan Von Tobel. Kelly, fresh off the dentist. Is that where you were?
Eye doctor. Went to Wyatt Tomchek's eye doctor, whose I don't know, father, I think, played sports with the eye doctor that I saw at UNLV. So it was like Wyatt Tomchek was like the rock star of the eye doctor.
Okay. All right, cool.
I was like, yeah, I got a recommendation. And they're like, from who? I'm like, Wyatt Tomchek. And there was like five people that were like,
we work at the same place. I assume we have the same health insurance. Maybe I should go there now.
They were good and cheap.
Okay. So there you go. Are you blind?
No, man, it was one of those. It's funny because you mentioned the eye doctor, right? People are always like, is something wrong or something? Like, no, I just literally haven't been in like 5 years. You know what I mean? And it was like, okay, I could probably use an updated prescription a bit.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe you don't know this because I don't wear them as often. I too wear glasses. I'm wearing I usually wear contacts. So I'm,
I know, yep.
But I am I'm a fellow blindie. So I'm pretty, mom and my older sister are legally blind. Like they're past that threshold.
Oh, wow.
I've read different things. Like in terms of the threshold of legal blindness. So I get like, I've read one thing that says I'm actually legally blind.
Okay.
But then I've read other things that says like the powers in terms of like, you know, your prescriptions, it's more like negative 10 and I only go to negative 4 in my right eye. So like, I don't know. Either way, I can't see either.
I don't even know what mine is because it's not that bad because I'm one of those people that got LASIK. Like I got LASIK like 12 years ago and it faded.
Oh, it scares me.
But it didn't like bottom out. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's still better than it was before I got LASIK, but like I need to wear glasses.
Paul Howard's got a good LASIK story.
Oh God. Mine's pretty bad too. I don't know what it is.
I guess it's statute of limitations. Do I do this? I think I'm allowed. No, I'm not going to do it. It's HIPAA laws. I don't want to.
Let's maybe not do that.
If Paul, if you're listening, you're not. Mitch Moss might be listening though. So, all right. So the straw poll 3.0, final one, you'd assume, of the regular season is out. I had my alerts set. I kept refreshing ESPN's website, and I finally got it when they posted it. So let's walk through the results of the MVP straw poll, then we'll get to what we think of set results. And a lot of people, look, I will say this, kudos to Doris Burke, who did her duty as an ESPN employee, teasing last night that the results of the straw poll were shocking. That people would be like, you know, amazed by what happened. I immediately thought, I was like, all right, Giannis is winning. not really the case. Joel Embiid leads the most recent straw poll, 790 total points. We'll get to the actual votes here in a second. Nikola Jokic is in second, 788 total points. So paper thin margin between Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. Giannis Antetokounmpo is third, 612 total points. I would make the argument that people might think he's dead. I would say he's not, but we'll get to that and reasons why as we move forward. Jason Tatum is in fourth, and there's a massive gap there, 292 points. And then another massive gap for fifth, Luka Doncic, with 37 total points. The others are receiving votes. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, there's something to read into there. We'll get to momentarily, 32 total points. Domantas Sabonis checks in with 20. Kudos to Mitch Moss, who was asking, why not them? Well, Sabonis got some MVP votes. Donovan Mitchell with 15 total points for him. And then the rest with barely anything, but a smattering of votes here and there. Jimmy Butler, De'Aaron Fox, Jaylen Brown, Stephen Curry, Devin Booker, and the hilarious one that you had mentioned, Jaren Jackson Jr., who finished tied for 13th on this ballot. So
I think that one's funny. And then I think that there's someone out there. I feel like it's a Boston media member who's like me that's like, there's not as big of a separation between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as you guys all make it out to be. I'm kind of in that camp. And I felt like someone had an attitude when they put that one in too. It's like, yeah. I'm including Jaylen Brown no matter what.
It's funny. I made the joke yesterday on Twitter. I was like, you know, I feel like Kyle Anderson deserves like 1/5 place vote from somebody. You know what I mean? Like, he's been rock steady for the Timberwolves. I mean, helping keeping them afloat this entire time. And he actually had some boneheaded moves like right after I tweeted that in that game. So, all right.
Should we do the details real quick, I guess, for people that don't know how the straw pull.
And that's why I wanted to, or you want it in terms of the breakdown. It's, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth place votes, all yep. worth different amount of points. And that is the story here because Joel Embiid has a 2-point lead despite not having the most first-place votes. And that's kind of the story between these two. Jokic actually led in first-place votes with 42. Joel Embiid had 40, but Joel Embiid had 45 second-place votes to 39 for Nikola Jokic, which ultimately made a difference because neither finished fourth or fifth in any ballots. Jokic actually had more third-place votes, 19 to 15 for Joel Embiid. So the big difference is that the 6-vote lead in second place for Joel Embiid gives him a 2-point lead in the straw poll. So let's do it this way. First off, the market adjusted. Co-favorites now. Why not? Plus 115 for each over at DraftKings. Giannis brought up in third at plus 450 or thereabouts. I'll ask just the general question, Kelly. Your takeaway, just specifically with Embiid, Jokic, and we'll include Giannis, is what?
Biggest takeaway for me was that I'm surprised Giannis didn't get more second place votes. And stay with me here. I know that's kind of like a weird shot thing to take away, but it's the I feel like we're dividing into the camps of Embiid or Jokic, and like there's so much argument one way or the other that I figured a lot of voters would be one of them's one. Right. And then it's Giannis 2 and then the other guy's 3. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I figured there was going to be a lot more of that this time around than what it really ended up being, where it's pretty consensus Embiid, Jokic top 2. From a betting standpoint right now, I don't know. That was one of my biggest takeaways, JVT. And then the other thing is just this piece in Tim Bontemps write up on it where he says multiple straw voters expressed that there is a high bar to clear for a third straight MVP. So when we talk about voter fatigue and stuff like that, that is real. That's a thing. That is multiple people saying that we are not judging these three guys the same.
Right. And so and that's a good point to build on, because what irritates me even more about that line of thinking, right? It's not even just, hey, like, you know, we're judging this guy differently than the other two. Why wasn't that a standard when 77 of you voted him first 2 months ago?
Totally.
Right?
We like should have seen that reflected. Absolutely. Right.
It makes no sense that, like, and look, have the Nuggets lost? Like, I guess, are they sliding? Like, they're 4 games away from clinching the one seed in the Western Conference. But it speaks to, like, to your point, like, it makes no sense. And the criteria has seemingly shifted from the last one to this one when it comes to Nikola Jokic. And it also just speaks to kind of like the hair-pulling aggravation you get when betting on some of these awards. People are weird when it comes to their criteria. Like, that makes no sense for 77 voters to say, because that was how many first place he votes had last time, right? I think he had 77, if I remember correctly. I
believe so.
Double check that for me. I mean, it was in the range and he was running away with it. But for that to shift over the course of a couple of months, why? That makes absolutely no sense, and you're changing the way that you're looking at this. Now it matters that he's going for a third MVP, not 2 months ago when you guys voted for this?
He drops from 77 first-place votes, and Embiid goes up from 6.
Right.
And this is where we're at now. So I'm with you. That many people changed their mind from Jokic to Embiid, right? Like, right. That's a lot. Wow. Actually, yeah. I mean, really, now that you're comparing those numbers, that is a lot.
So, and I would also say this, and I think this is something to take forward for betting some of these things, because we saw this play out in Defensive Player of the Year last year, and I'm sorry, but it's playing out this time. Pay attention to who's campaigning and who's not, because it alters the way that people think. not to say that Joel Embiid does not deserve it. If he wins it, like we talked about in many episodes past, if any of these three guys wins it, I'd be fine. But the Joel Embiid's play has been great, and he's closed the gap. But Jokic is the best player on the number one overall seed, but who's been the loudest voice in terms of campaigning for this? It's been Embiid, the backers. It's been a bigger storyline. And what happened last year? After Robert Williams goes down, Tim Bontemps writes some weird piece about like the defensive player of the year vote and why it should shift more toward perimeter players and Marcus Smart being at the front of that. And all of a sudden he like swings over to the big favorite. People get swayed by it, especially in defensive player of the year, because people just don't know how to evaluate defense.
Yeah.
And he ends up winning the award. But I think that's also my takeaway, Kelly. It's if you're campaigning for this, there's a pretty good shot that you might get a pretty good swing in your direction if you're actually pushing vocally for an award.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think looking at this stuff today, I think I'm starting to accept. I don't understand why, as we broke down, but I'm starting to accept the fate that it is going to be Joel Embiid, who probably it just feels like they want to give it to him at this point, right? That's what this feels like today. It feels like, and maybe it just took time, JVT. I don't know. Maybe it just took, like, all those people wanted to send in. I think it is easier to do a straw poll 2.0 or 1.0 than it is for the ones in the final weeks of the season, right? I think you could throw in names in there a little bit more willy-nilly for a fun piece on ESPN earlier in the season, but you know more people are going to be looking at this one that's more at the end of the year, right? So maybe that's what happened. But really what we should have realized in the entirety of the season is that they were not going to put, even if voters thought he deserved it, they were not going to put Nikola Jokic's name up there with the Bill Russells, Wilt Chamberlains, and Larry Bird's, right? Because that is the company he would be joining of three in a row.
Now,
and we're not comfortable doing that yet, apparently.
But here's the thing, and this is why I do want to stress this. Because the margins are so tight, I do think that this is an important point. I will point out again, remember, these are not all voters for the actual award. There are people who participate in this poll who actually do not have a vote. Now, generally, you'd be like, why does that matter? Well, when the margins are this tight, it would. It totally matters, right? Because there might be somebody out there who doesn't have a vote in this straw poll who actually has, to your point, Kelly, Jokic first, Giannis second, Joel Embiid third. Well, that's one second-place vote that's out the window for Joel Embiid. That's another first-place vote that might be in favor of Nikola Jokic. All of a sudden, that's Jokic who wins the award. Just that one person. If there's a differentiator in somebody who has a vote who's actually not part of the straw poll and somebody who's part of the straw poll who doesn't have an actual vote.
No, it's a good point. So you have – so what it is it's 100 media members, right, that is polled by ESPN. This is at least two voters from each of the league's 28 markets. Mm-hmm. And then you're 10 points for first place vote, 7 points for second place, 5 points for third. So, yeah, you could switch, right? And the other thing I think it's worth pointing out about this piece – is Bontemps, I think he does do a good job of this. Of look, there's a lot of voters too that say this isn't done yet in their mind, right? Like they might be submitting a name today, but it's not done yet in their mind. So I do appreciate them being a little bit more open about that. You're right. You have to take into account that hey, a lot of these are MVP voters, but we're not seeing where this isn't everybody, right? So things could absolutely change here.
And I'm looking right now, so let's see. Hold on. I wanted to see, because this is the other part.
What is it? 2 points that separates them, right?
Yeah, yes,
two total points that currently separate them. And this is the other one I caught from Bontemps' article. So you might be asking yourself, would this be the closest race ever? Yes, it would be the closest race in the history of the MVP since they've been doing media voting. The closest ever was in the 89-90 season. Magic Johnson won over Charles Barkley, and it was a 22-point margin.
Right. So here's the interesting part now is because we kind of move forward. So here's maybe a simplistic way to handicap this. Because if this, and I think it's true, right? This thing's not over yet. So performances going forward over the next 6 games, 7 games are going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
Remaining schedule for the Philadelphia 76ers. Home against Toronto, on the road against Milwaukee, then home games against Boston and Miami before ending the season on the road against Atlanta and Brooklyn. So these next 4 games... going to be some pretty tough opponents for the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll see what that means for Joel Embiid's performance, but keep that in mind. The rest of the schedule for the Denver Nuggets. Maybe a feather in the cap for Jokic, too. He has 7 games left as opposed to 6. So one extra opportunity, right, to impress some voters, perhaps. home versus the Pelicans, at Phoenix, home versus the Warriors, then a three-game road trip, Houston, Phoenix, Utah, before ending the season on the road against, or excuse me, at home against Sacramento. Now, what makes it interesting is these teams might not have anything to play for down the stretch, right? The magic number for the Denver Nuggets, I believe, is four. Might actually be three, but it's in that range to clinch the number one seed in the Western Conference. The Philadelphia 76ers are pretty much locked into the three seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. So, I mean, tonight's game, I guess tonight's game has more to do with that than you would think, right? With Boston, Milwaukee playing each other. You know, if somehow Boston wins, then they're almost locked into that three seed.
Yeah. That's why I say virtually locked. There's still a chance that they can move up there, but the odds that they can move up there are slim.
Very good.
Right. So I think that's the more fascinating part about this. And for those who don't know, a two game deficit between Boston and Philly right now for the two seed. And again, what matters too is Milwaukee is their magic number is four. So why that matters is a win today against Boston would cut that actually to two and essentially cement them as the number one overall seed. You don't know what Boston's going to play for, if they're going to jockey for position, whatever it is. But anyway, the point here is that three games down the road, neither could have anything to play for. And so what does that mean for Joel Embiid, who, remember, schedule density, has been dealing with injuries? Is he going to rest a little bit more down the stretch? Nikola Jokic, what does that mean for him? And do they just play this out, Kelly, because both of them want this award? I think it is pretty fascinating as we kind of move forward here with these schedules, because if it's this tight, but these two teams might not have anything to play for, like, they're just playing for the MVP.
Who do you think wants it more?
Embiid.
Like, okay.
I shouldn't say that, because, like, he vocally wants it more. We should say that. And if there was, and I would say this, if of the two, there was, if you were to say, who would you make the favorite to play meaningless games to try to cement the award more, who would be more probable to do it? It would probably be Joel Embiid.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and I think a lot of people out there probably might laugh at my question, but I think Jokic. I'm not the guy who's going to say he's sitting here padded stats at all. I'm not that guy, but I think this means a little more to him than maybe we, like, I don't think Giannis gives a at all. I think Giannis is like, hey, look, my team's in first place. Like, I'm having a great year. I'm out here about to try to win a championship. I got the best team in the NBA. He's so mild mannered. I don't know. Jokic, you at least get this. I get this sense from a little bit that it matters a little bit more to him.
Well, because there is, you would think there is, look, he is a two-time MVP. So this is going to sound odd saying this out loud, but there is a sense of disrespect for this, right?
Sure.
Like totally. You said, it's like, oh no. We're judging this differently now that you're going for three. And it's like, why? If I'm the most valuable player, why all of a sudden over the last 2 months, you're like, I don't know. This is he was going for three 2 months ago. Like, he was going for three. Like, the last time you guys were polled,
it is crap, man. Like, the fact, like, it's really, I think it's so much of that. It's just so much that voters realize that they get a chance to decide on what is history in the NBA, and they are not comfortable with putting Nikola Jokic, at least yet, in the company of Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, and Larry Bird.
Yep. So
and it's garbage and it's not fair. And this, but this, well, this is awards betting at its finest, right? Right. Like this is,
oh, that's
this
the, like is I the said,
crap you got to deal with.
Right? That's the aggravating part about like betting on these awards is that you're judging, you're hoping people are actually doing the right thing when it comes to this and leaving some stuff on the side and just evaluating these guys as who they are as players. And they're not doing that, which is absolutely aggravating. Yes. So again, we haven't really seen anything co-favorites.
It happens the other way, right, JVT? Like, we had all the guys on Monday. Like, you know, Kendrick Perkins is on ESPN talking about how, you know, Embiid dodging that game is going to affect his MVP voting. So, like, I'm not saying all this stuff negatively affects Jokic. I'm saying there's guys in both camps that you know, are going to be swaying votes for reasons that are pretty silly.
Yeah. I wouldn't, if I had a vote, I would not sway on the Embiid decision. I would just think that makes you look a little, not, I don't even know weak. What the term would be.
Like your opinion's it's weak. A weak. Like, come it's on, a weak, man. It's a weak take.
Yeah, it's a weak take.
You're going to punish the guy for one game and this is a season award, especially from a guy who played in the NBA, right?
Oh, well, like I do this all the time with, you know, when I talk about this all the time, you know, a lot of the times when we do like local stuff and when this brings up, one of the things that we talk about a lot is some of the most negative and vitriolic people in sports media are actually former players because there's like this sense of like, I don't know if it's jealousy or whatever it is, but it's really weird. It's really weird how some former players are when it comes to essentially like, right, they're contemporaries, guys that played in the league, but some of those former players can be some of the worst critics. So I was going to say this. So as we kind of look at this, I guess you handicap the schedule moving forward. If there's a bet to be made, I mean, I think right now +115 both sides, you're kind of just taking a flyer and you're saying, I'm judging this based on this. But I will say this, Kelly, day to day, this market is going to swing back and forth the rest of the way.
Yep.
So what I think, I mean, theoretically, if you had nothing in this market right now, you could play both +115 and then just sit back and see what happens.
I hear what you're saying. I wouldn't, because I think Giannis is more alive than that.
And that leads to the other topic about this.
Because you are right. Like, if we're sitting here and you can throw that in my face, like, do I think it's Embiid? Yes, I think it's probably Embiid, right? If gun to my head of how do I think these results are going to play out? I think it's going to play out Embiid, Jokic, Giannis. But I still can't. I'm not going to go and scoop up +115 on both sides because I think Giannis is really closer to this than this straw poll actually indicates.
Yeah, we should stress too. So people will look at this and go 790, 788. These are the total points in 612, and think that that's an insurmountable gap. It's not. Again, the 2 points are: one, these are not all MVP voters. Two, three or four, like you said. What are we talking about here? The first place votes were 10 in this thing.
Yeah, 10.
If Giannis swipes like four or five first place votes, not only is he gaining, let's say, 50 points, he's taking those away from Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. So this is not a massive gap. And that's why you still really don't see a massive gap in the odds. He's +450. The other two guys are +115. And they just happen to have a massive game tonight against the Boston Celtics, that's going to be where everybody's eyes are, because there's only two games for essentially the number one seed to lock this thing up. And he could sway a lot of people on the second leg of a back-to-back coming into a high-leverage game like this and squashing Boston and taking the one seed essentially for the Eastern Conference could go a long way for the Bucks. Right?
It really could. Especially, I'm probably thinking way too deep here, but I'm trying to get inside the minds of voters, right? So for any voters out there who actually see this straw poll, do they maybe end up doing what I said I was first surprised by of the, they put Jokic and Embiid 1-2, and now they're looking at this and saying, okay, if I'm a Jokic voter, okay, Jokic got more first place votes, but he's behind Embiid. I need to move Embiid to third and move Giannis up to second or something. You know what I mean? Like to make sure they feel like their number one guy actually wins out, right? I would hope not many people would do that, but I think there's probably a couple that will, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's all these situations that we're talking about. I think there's all it does, if a couple people get affected by X, a couple people get affected by Y, a couple people get affected by Z. Well, all these add up real quick, right? And to your point, like you don't need to close a huge gap here on almost any of these guys we're talking about.
Yep. And the point too for Giannis is we evaluated everything. The Milwaukee has 6 games left too, but he's got some moments where he could actually take advantage of this narrative wise. Next 2 games are at home. It's Boston for the number 1 seed and Philly.
Yeah.
So could you imagine? Let's just paint this picture. Oh, that's a big one. Giannis wins. They win this game. Let's just say it's like a routine 30-10 type of night, 30-12 night for Giannis. They win this game against Boston. Then on April 2nd, he faces off with Joel Embiid and they smoke the 76ers. And Giannis has another like 35-12, whatever. He's awesome. It's another great performance against Joel Embiid, okay, in a winning effort. That's back-to-back games against Eastern Conference contenders where Giannis shows out. Rest of the schedule, Washington, Chicago, Memphis, and Toronto. That is a schedule for Giannis Antetokounmpo. If you could score back-to-back wins and then just put up a massive stat-padding type of game against the Washington Wizards, where, like, that's like you said, it's not over, man. If that plays out over the next 3 games?
Yeah, that plays out as he's probably not. Is Washington the third game? That's the third game.
Washington's the third game in the front end of a back-to-back. Chicago's on the back end.
So, I mean, that's the one we got to think, though, right? If they win the next 2, are they already in resting scenario for Giannis? Probably not. You're probably playing at least one more. But after that Washington game, I guess you got to start keeping that in mind.
But then it goes back to what we kind of talked about a couple of minutes ago, right? I think we underestimate what Giannis Antetokounmpo thinks. He's a pretty chill dude, but like he's got an ego too. And he's probably looking around and going like, what are we doing? Like, I'm the best player on the best team in the NBA. Let's go.
I mean, let me put it this way. I would be a lot more pissed off if I was him about seeing these than I actually think he is. I think he's too chill for actually to get wrapped up in something. I think that Giannis, just like me, knows one thing. He's the best player in the NBA, and this is cool, this whole Embiid-Jokic thing, and it's been going on for a couple years now, but Giannis is by far the most likely to be back on top of this year in and year out going forward. As good as Embiid and Jokic are, I think Giannis said, you know what? I'm in first place. I got the best record in the NBA. I got the best team in the NBA. I'm the best player in the NBA. They don't have to give me that hardware, but I'll go win a championship this year and you can give me that MVP award next year when I come back.
I don't know, man. I can totally see a scenario where he comes out and squashes the next 2 teams in the Eastern Conference, right? These next 2 games. And we're kind of looking around and going, huh, like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, Giannis is still pretty damn good. Like, I just, with these margins so tight, it's pretty incredible. So, all right.
I'll tell you, one of the other things for me was it was kind of a sigh of relief seeing these this morning for a little bit too. Of I'm like, dude, I am so glad I didn't get heavily invested on any side of this throughout the season. Where it's just, I've always thought it was close. I thought it was closer than what the 2.0 was, and then seeing this, it's like, holy crap! If this is really this close, like, I'm so glad I'm not involved.
So I got involved yesterday. I bet Giannis at a worse price because I heard and I assumed Burke was talking about Giannis maybe being a lot tighter than it was. But I got to tell you, like, I at a worse number, yes, I don't think I'm dead. I don't think you're dead at all.
Yeah, I don't think
when it comes to Giannis,
you got close to 4-1. I don't think you're dead at all.
Yep. So this is going to be fascinating to track. So there's a couple of other things really quick that we got to clean up coming from the straw poll. So one of which is, Let's hit Tim Bontemps first. So we played the comments from Bontemps the last couple of podcasts, and I just thought it was interesting. And like, this isn't to dunk on Bontemps. I'm just wondering what he was talking about.
Right, yeah.
So Bontemps, as we played in the last podcast yesterday, had the clip where he's just like, Vegas doesn't know anything. And it was a second consecutive pod in which he had mentioned that. But Vegas did know something. Or Vegas, I put in air quotes. He's probably looking at the markets.
Doing
right?
It this morning, too.
Yeah. The odds, like, the market.
Vegas?
Yeah.
Like, crap, they've got me doing it too. Yep.
The market knew something though. And like, and it's funny because I had somebody like kind of try to clap back on me on Twitter because it was, I put out there and I'm like, he kept saying, Bontemps, that the odds had no idea who was going to win this award. And yet we had seen for like the last 2 or 3 weeks, Joel Embiid had slowly been creeping on Nikola Jokic. And over at a couple of spots, like I went back and looked at FoxBet, Embiid actually became the favorite on March 17th, a small favorite, a plus 105. They've been kind of going back and forth since. Right. So in his article, when he says that the odds snapped back, And I think he was implying, like, after this poll, I don't know what he was trying to say, but, like, I don't know what he was saying.
That's the first part of that sentence that I read earlier. I skipped that part, but the full sentence is, there was snapback from Jokic's big lead in MVP odds as multiple straw poll voters expressed that their higher bar to clear for a third straight MVP.
Right. That sentence would imply that the straw poll caused the snapback, right?
From Jokic's big... Yes?
Right? I don't understand what snapback he's talking about, because somebody tried to tell me, he's like, there was a snapback. He was minus 250 last week.
And I
was
like, snapback from what his odds were after the last straw poll?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's snapback from that, right?
This is why we get into semantics. When I hear snapback, I think immediate, right? Like, he was minus 250 one day and it snapped back immediately. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So either way.
We've been talking about it. I mean, shoot, we've been talking about it for a week or whatever now, where I would love to talk to him because his tone implies that he's very passionate about why they're wrong, but I don't understand what he's implying now that I see this today, because I mean, even bring this back to where, what were the odds before, what was it, Monday, right, when Philly and Denver were supposed to play? Going into that game, Embiid, at least over at DraftKings, was like minus 140. I think it was 140, 150. And then because he didn't play, that moved all the way back to like basically where it sits today. It is basically almost exactly where it
Jokic
sits today.
Jokic was like a small favorite at like something, but yeah.
Yes, yeah. He ended up moving to like a small favorite role.
Yeah.
So, okay, if you're telling me that... Embiid is the leader in points. It might be 2 points, but he's the leader in 2 points on this straw poll. And he was the slight favorite before that game. Like what the market had it like dead on.
Right.
almost as close as you could possibly make it as compared to this straw poll. So I don't know, man. Like, I just don't know if it's, you know, does he think a 20 cent move is a lot bigger than what it is? You know, I think those are the type of things where I'm just left questioning now, right? Does Embiid moving from even money to minus 150, like, is that a massive, massive move to Tim? Maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Those are the things I'm left here like questioning though, right? We've heard him talk about
it. Like I said in the last podcast too, maybe his whole thing is just like, you can't set odds on this. You don't even know. Right.
Or so
like
that
maybe
too,
that's
yes.
right. Like that, yeah. that, maybe that's what his whole thing is.
He might just be angry. We're all betting on this.
Right. I mean,
and look, he's wrapped up in the middle of it.
he could be, I mean, who knows? He could be. It's, you know, people have their odd passions and quirks, I guess. So this isn't to like dunk on him. It's an interesting topic. Cause like you said, he's very passionate about it. Seemed like kind of oddly vitriolic about it.
Right.
And you're just like kind of wondering like why.
No, you're right. I don't mean to talk bad about him at all. I'm just, I would love to talk to him about it. What was he implying then with that tone that he used, I'm sorry, multiple times? It might as well just been the same soundbite just replayed the way he said it.
He
has no idea.
So it's funny. I sent it to Mitch, the second one, and he goes, yeah, I heard it on Friday. I go, no, it's a different one.
It's a different market.
Mitch was like, he said it again? Like, yeah. Like, I don't know why.
It's like the same way, though. That's exactly what I'm saying. It might as well be a soundbite. We just replay about a different topic. I don't know, man.
As we clean this up, I think there's one last point to make from this. And people would be surprised by this, but it was a great observation by many people. So the results of the straw poll might actually give us an insight onto another award. Most improved player.
Yeah, baby.
Larry Markkanen.
Say his name.
Actually, this is pretty interesting because we haven't seen an adjustment. Larry Markkanen is still minus 450 to win most improved player.
Yeah.
But Larry Markkanen did not receive 23 points in the straw poll for MVP. That would be
32 points, 23 fifth place.
Oh,
votes,
excuse
three
me.
Fourth place votes.
Okay, excuse me. And that's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the one who appears with multiple votes in multiple places on the MVP straw poll. Now, again, we'll stress, not real voters, so who knows? Not or 100% not
all
voters.
Some of these voters.
I should put it that way. We're betting Shai, right? Like, I don't have anything on this. I'm betting Shai, aren't I? At plus 330?
I already added a little this morning. Now I'm already heavily invested, but you know, when I'm betting it at numbers like +130 and stuff multiple times earlier in the year, sure, I might as well add a little bit on now at +350. I mean, I think it's something that you can read into. Now, you have to be a believer in the most improved player kind of formula like I am, and not the most improved player from, hey, we're going to take the definition of the actual award and apply it to a player, right? If you want to go to most improved player, sure, Lauri Markkanen by points per game and a lot of different metrics is the most improved player, and it deserves it by the way this thing is coined. When I was already go back and look at the history of this award, it's usually that guy who's kind of in year two, three, four, right? That you're not even two, three or four. That's usually
can't win it if you're a second year player.
Exactly. I don't know who said that to you once upon a time, but you've really been holding that in.
Well, because I think it's stupid, and two, I think it is too. Right, and two, like Tyrese Maxey should. I had 151 on Tyrese Maxey last year. He was freaking awesome. He made massive improvements. And he didn't finish as a finalist because he was a second-year player. Like, if you just remove that, he would have won it. But anyway, go on.
He would be the guy that I have. I was heavily invested in before this season in this award. Yeah. You're right. But yeah, it's that guy who, hey, look, he kind of hit that near star level a year ago, and now has continued to build on that. And that is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, he is the fourth leading scorer in the NBA, a team at least right now that is in the play-in mix. He fits that formula and kind of what we saw out of Ja Morant a year ago. He fits it perfectly. So, and I think, yes, JVT, I think there's something to read into today when you see the fifth place votes for him, the fourth place votes, all these votes coming in for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the MVP market. I would think that's going to translate over at least a bit.
I feel like it's improved to be a fringe MVP candidate. Is it not?
Sure. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That would be another definition of improvement. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, JVT. Yes, absolutely. Yep. So, you know, I think for me, as invested as I am in that market, I mean, to be completely honest, I am more invested in SGA to win most improved player than almost anything at this point of any NBA future bet I have. So, yeah. I really hope he gets there, but I was damn happy seeing this morning and seeing this was a result of it.
Yep. And the thing too is, what are we going to say here? What was I going to say? Oh, I'll at least say that even if this does not lead to him winning, I would think that this implies at the very least, Kelly, that Lauri Markkanen does not have the lead for this award that the market says he does.
I would too.
Right. -450 yep. to +330. I don't think that gap's there in terms of probability.
Yeah, I would too. And I don't know about you, but there's even so, like, you know, we hit on this on a numbers game this morning. Gil's not the biggest NBA guy. He's an NBA guy, but this jumped out to him. I didn't even have to mention it, right? Like he's reading through this and it jumped out to him, and he immediately connected that of like, oh, well, I think that makes a lot more sense than for most improved for him to win that. So
five points behind Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I know that I was going to bring that up. 5 points behind Luka.
He could finish fifth. Like he could finish on the ballot. if it plays out this way, he could finish fifth in MVP. How does that not lead to most improved?
I don't know.
That would be. Yep.
It's what people can't get out of their minds is it's different tiers, right? Like Lauri Markkanen has improved, but he's improved from like tier four, tier five to tier three, right? Mm-hmm. Tier two. Shai went from like tier three to tier one, right? This is what we're talking about. Like, I don't know, man. I like it though.
Yep. No, it's good. And I don't know when voting is due, but if he gets them into the play-in, that can make the difference for some people too, when it comes to Shai, as opposed to Lauri Markkanen, who's sitting out games with a contusion on his left hand recently.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, man, the Thunder need SGA back, though. Whoo, boy, was that a lucky bucket last night. Lucky victory last night. But this is – some of these, though, just back to the poll real quick. I would just love to see some of these people's full votes. You know what I mean? Where it's like, what? How does this work if you slotted – you know, for the person that did – or the three people that did have SGA fourth, I would like to see the rest of your – what you had one, two, three, and five, right?
Right. Absolutely. Man, it was a good poll though. So, hey, takeaway is we still have no idea. So,
yeah,
it's anybody's game at this point right now. All right, you have anything? I gotta cut out. I've got other duties to attend to. Anything else? All right.
No, I'm good, man. Only two games tonight. I don't know about you, but I got nothing going on. We'll be eagerly watching the Boston Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks go at it, but no action for me tonight.
I bet the Bucks first half. Okay. And I'll say this really quick, and hopefully people get this before. But we'll just say the Nuggets might be trolling the Philadelphia 76ers a little bit when it comes to Nikola Jokic's injury status, and might lead to some value there on the Nuggets with everything going on. But that's just a guess. Okay. All right. For Kelly, for myself, like, rate, review, subscribe. We appreciate you listening as always, and we will talk to you next time here on Hardwood Handicappers.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.